Okay, let's do Piyah, Horach, Ches, and Tess, we're going to do. Okay, the Mechaber says, Devash, Devar, and Mutter. Honey from bees is Mutter. Va'afal pi, shegufi, hatvar, and more. But even though there are bee parts mixed into it, Uchem, mashfishim, hatvash, mehem, and when you want to remove the honey from those parts, Mechamim, arsichon, asoimahim, you heat up the honey so that it could
liquefy,
so it can go through a filter, so you can filter out those bee parts. Mutter, it's still mutter anyhow, even though there's a bleed going from those bee parts into the honey, we shouldn't have a nice time of gum. The bee parts are a nice time of gum into the honey, so it's mutter. This din is almost an exact copy of the din in Peidalad. Peidalad, Halachid Gimel, is almost an exact copy of this din. When we were there, we spoke about two things, I'll just remind you. Two things. First is, Taisa says that bee legs are considered to be atzamas, and they're not usher, and therefore bee legs would not be a shayon. So that's why the Mechaber says on purpose, gufei tvarim, bee parts, like other parts of the bee's body would be in there, but not bee legs, because bee legs are not usher. And second thing is, and we spoke about then, why isn't it bitul chatchila, excuse me, to warm up the honey and get the bleeds into it? So it's one of the places where the din says that Ein Kavanas Levatel is Mutter. We had a diyun about that whole din about Ein Kavanas Levatel. We spoke about that. It was very near actually to the next din in Peidalad about broccoli kugel. That was Peidalad, that was Yudal. We spoke about this in Yudgimel, both of these. Okay, we'll go on to round out the whole din, which is Halachates, Dvash Tzirin V'Gizin, honey from these different other kinds of insects. We'll a little bit talk about that in a second, what they are. It says in parentheses, Mine Tvarim V'Tzirinim. They're Mutter to eat those. V'yesh Misha Oyser. But some people say that it's Asr, and the Ramah says, we don't have to worry about whether they're Mutter Asr. We don't have these kind of things around here. We got lots of bees, but we don't have any of these other things. So it's not negate whether they're Mutter Asr. We don't have them anyhow. Okay. So the first thing we'll talk about is honey itself. Okay. So first, if I can explain to you a little bit about one here, is just the technicalities of it, negate to the din. That is, honey there's something called sucrose. Sucrose is a disaccharide. It has two sugar-type molecules connected to each other. One is a glucose and one is a fructose. Okay, sugars, there's a bunch of different ways they can be set up. So a glucose and a fructose together is called sucrose. Okay, and nectar made by flowers is a sucrose. It's this disaccharide. Okay, bees collect the nectar. They put it into their body. Okay, and when they come to their hive, they spit it out. But when they spit it out, they don't just spit it back out by itself. Some of their saliva gets mixed in, and their saliva has two enzymes in it. One's called invertase, we call it, and one called glucose oxidase. Okay? I'll tell you about that in a second. So what they do is, after they plop it into the hive, it comes out almost exactly as it went in, almost exactly the same way, except it has the saliva mixed into it.
Is that holding in their mouth?
I think they have a special sac that they hold it in their mouth. They hold it in, and then they spit it back out. And when they put it into the hive, some bees fan it with their wings, which helps dry it out, okay, helps remove moisture, and at the same time, these two enzymes are doing two different jobs on the bees, on the honey. One enzyme breaks apart the glucose and the fructose, okay, so instead of it being sucrose, which is a disaccharide, now it's two individual sugar molecules, it breaks it apart, and one of the enzymes takes the glucose and turns it into glucosinic acid, okay? Makes it from glucose into gluconic acid. Okay, the combination of there being very little moisture, because the bees fanned it dry, and it being more acidic, because it has gluconic acid instead of glucose, means that it doesn't spoil. Microorganisms don't like to live in that, such an environment, and therefore it doesn't spoil. That's why honey doesn't spoil, because those two changes, the changes that the bee made to it, it split it in half, turned this into gluconic acid, and dried it out, makes it that it's not hospitable to microorganisms, and mammalia doesn't spoil.
So honey is glucosinic acid and
fructose.
Is that
what
honey?
Right. It could be that some of it says it's glucose. I'm not sure. Right. So I mean,
glucosinic acid and fructose. You don't find that make the honey afterwards.
Well, that is what honey is. But when you eat honey, that's this mixture, this combination of all this stuff together.
Can they synthetically then make honey if you know that that's the ingredients of the two make honey like a bee would make honey?
I have no idea. Okay, I can't imagine, but that it's worthwhile. I mean, bees do it for free, you know. So I don't know.
Because there was a big bee shortage.
Right, but the ink of the bee shortage is that they need bees to pollinate plants, not that they need bees to make honey. That they're,
it's a separate issue,
right,
pollinate
plants. Okay, I don't know. I don't know if anybody tried to make it synthetically. No idea. Okay, Okay, so the Gemara, as you probably know, there's a Gemara says two reasons why honey should be mutter. Here we are at the end of the simon about yotzei min hatameh. So the Gemara says, why isn't the yotzei min hatameh? It's coming from a trade animal, from a bee. So the Gemara says, the Gemara B'chayr says two reasons. First reason is that it's not a yotzei. Okay, the Gemara says, machnisa says to the gufon, ben matas on the gufon. It doesn't come from the bee's body. The bee just takes in the nectar, spits it back out, almost identical to the way it came in. And so it goes and it's really, so the bee is just transporting the nectar from the plant to someplace else. So that's it. So it's not a yotzei at all. That's the first Gemara's answer. The Gemara's second answer is that it really is a yotzei. It really is a yotzei. Now, the Gemara doesn't say why it's a yotzei. But l'chayr it means is because passing through the bee's body is what makes it eventually change into something else, and somehow that makes it into a yotzei. You know, the being in its body may touch it and not commune to it. I'm not really sure why it should be a yotzei. The Gemara says it is a yotzei. But there's a pasuk. A pasuk says, "Achazel or circle, we call sheretz oif. We call sheretz oif. We make a drasha that there's one yotzei from a bug, which is mutter, from a sheretz oif that's mutter, and that must be that it's honey." Okay. Okay. So now the Gemara says there's a nafkamina. Nafkamina between them is what we spoke about. What was halachates? What happens if you have divash tzir begizin? What happens if you have divash from a different bug? You get honey from a different bug, not from the bee. I don't know what it means. But there is such a thing called the Palestinian wasp, which makes honey also. Okay, so maybe it means there's some other insect that makes honey. The Gemara says, the Gemara knew what it was. I'm going to talk about that in a second. The Gemara said there was something. The Gemara said something. There's some kind of Dvash Sirvi Gizin. According to the first chapter of the Gemara, it's mutter. Because it doesn't go, the insect doesn't do anything to it. The insect just passes through its body. According to the second tenet of the Gemara, it's usher, because the only one thing that's mutter is dvash from a regular dvash, but not this special kind of dvash is not mutter. Okay, so the beginning of the Gemara, that dvash dvarim is mutter, that was halacha ches, says honey is mutter. Halacha tes, the mechaber wrote 2 days. First he says that it's mutter, and then he says v'yesh misha iser. Okay, those are the 2 days in the Gemara. Okay, so the regular rules of
Yeshim Shai is the second day in the Gemara.
It is, it's 2 days in the Gemara. The Gemara says the Machlokes, Gemara says the Nafkamina, Vashgiz Mitzirin, Gemara says it's a Nafkamina, and the Machlokes Rishonim, which way Pasi. Yeah, but I mean, the Gemara is 2 days. If it's really 2 days in the Gemara, and the Machlokes, how we Pasi? Of course, I'm sorry, skip that step. Okay, so the general rules of how we would read the Shulchan Aruch would be, it's a Shach says to read like this is, when the Machaber says Bestam, one thing, and then v'yesh misha something, so we go like the stam. Okay, so the stam here is to say that dvash gizin v'gizin v'tzirin is mutter. Okay, that's how we would read the Shulchan Aruch. The Pri Chodesh argues, the Pri Chodesh says that no, really the din is that it's usher. Okay, it's not clear if he thinks that the Mechaber holds like that, but he says it's usher, and he's medayik, the Daki Tshuva is medayik, that the Ramah holds it usher also, because he says, the Ramah says, the Einon Tzrich Lachosh is that we don't have to worry about this because we don't have geese in the tzirin around us anyhow. Now, why would Ramah be saying that altogether? If the din is at their mutter, why tell us, don't worry about it because we don't have them around in our towns anyhow? I mean, what's the point to tell us that? It's mutter anyhow. So if you have it in your town, it'd be mutter. If you don't have, you don't. I mean, why bother to tell me that? It's mashma that really the Ramah holds that it's usher. And in fact, in Tzitz Eliezer, who we'll talk about soon, Tzitz Eliezer brings that in the Teres Chatas, okay, I think he means this, in the Simon of the Teres Chatas, that means the Ramah has like a kitzer at the end of the Teres Chatas of what he said, the Ramah only brings the second day. He only brings the second day that Dvash Gizin and Tzirin are usher. Okay? So that's a mashmois that the Ramah really held that it was usher, which the Daki Tshuv already had said is a deep when the Ramah said it altogether. Now, that doesn't mean that the Ramah means you should we pass like the second day for sure. It means is if we just read the Ramah on the Teres Chatas, we'd say the Ramah says we should be machmir for the second day. We're going to see soon that there are cases where the second day is a kula. We don't know yet that the Ramah would hold that it's a kula. In the specific case, should you eat dvash gizin v'tzirin? The Ramah says no, you shouldn't. Maybe he was just saying that l'chumra. It's a safek d'oraisa, so you should be machmir about that. The Tzitz Eliezer wants to say it's even l'kula. Okay, that's what we'll see. He wants to say it even when it comes out to be an afkamim l'kula, which is what we're going to come to. Okay, so it's a shaili how we should paskin. Then seemingly we should say that that the machaber hold that it's mutter and the ramah hold that it's usher. We'll see more about that in a second. Now, I'm going to just tell you something about the dvash gizin v'tzirin. The ramah says they're not around us, and we haven't even a clue what it is. So it really is not around. But I just want to say two things about it. And one is like this. In the Torah, when it mentions the Tzira coming to help the Yidden get out of Eretz, get capture Eretz Yisrael, and most people translate Tzira as a hornet. Okay, that's how most people think that the word Tzira, when the Baruch Hashem says he's going to send the Tzira to help chase the Goyim out, right? And so it's not translated as a hornet. So Rabbi Aaron showed me the other day. He did the other day that now there's a Japanese drink made from hornet.
Excretions?
Yes, something from a hornet. An amino acid that they find in hornets, it's called VAM, which stands for Vespa Amino Acid Mixture. And the theory is, well, the hornets have so much energy, and this is what gives them the energy, so if you drink it, it'll give you energy also. Okay, that's the theory. Okay, so now, I hard to believe that the VAM is the dvash of the hornet. It didn't sound like that. The reading of what I read up, it didn't sound like it was the
hormone.
It didn't sound like it was their dvash. But it was interesting, anyhow. And if you're good news, in case anybody wants VAM, look, the company swears that they make it from, they don't get it from hornets. That it's just the same thing that they have in the hornets, but they make it artificially. They make it some other way. They don't actually get it from hornets. Okay. So if you want to drink VAM, I don't know.
Certifying it?
Some other company that gives you the real thing.
Yeah, if you want the real, real.
Certifying it, by the way?
We haven't been asked yet to certify it, but you never know.
We're not going to get it. Maybe they put in like 1 billionth of 1 centigram of the amino acid that they can,
They said it's not the real. They don't get it from the hornets. In case you're worried about it, they don't get it from the hornets.
Don't worry about Peter or something, yeah.
Okay. Okay, now the other thing is more of a shiloh, which is the Prichodesh is Akasha. He says, Rashi says in Shabbos that Gizin are a kosher grasshopper. So, Frek the Prichodesh, what's wrong with Dvash Gizin? Gizin are kosher. Okay, Gizin are kosher grasshoppers. So, why do you think that Dvash Gizin should be not kosher? It's Dvash from a kosher animal. Okay, so it's honey. Not coming from bees are trade, but Gizin are kosher. Okay, so the Prichodesh has said about it. Ramosha said, I'm not prepared what they say. Ramosha talks about it, and the Prima Gordon talks about it. There's a bunch of people speak about the Shiloh. I'm mentioning it to you. Gizin are kosher, so what's wrong? What could be wrong with Dvash Gizin? Okay, so.
Actually, don't give me that Esther from Milton.
So I want to remind you that when we go to Halacha, there's a machlokes whether the Yotzi from every Yotzi from a kosher animal is kosher or not. Is it only milk and eggs, or is it everything? Okay, and this is a raya. This is a raya that the yotze from a kosher animal is treif. Because here we have the yotze from a kosher animal, and we have a gemara being clear whether it's mutter or aser, even though, it's only a Rashi says it's kosher, maybe everybody else holds it's a different animal. Rashi says it's a kosher animal, and here we're talking about whether it should be kosher or treif, is the implication is that a yotze from a kosher animal is not kosher. We talked about in the halacha, basically a shach and a rush, whether it's kosher. Okay, I'm just mentioning for that part. Okay, I mean, again, these other places we talk about the shiloh. It's a prechadash and prechadash and prechadash. Okay, now. Okay, so now, another nafkamina. So the Gemara had its nafkamina, Dvash Gizin Vitzirin. I'm trying to rush because we have a lot to say. Okay, the Gemara had a machlokes about Dvash Gizin Vitzirin. Okay, someone in England, back to the mayor, he works for the OU, okay, he came with another nafkamina. Okay, and his nafkamina was, there are some, an opposite nafkamina. And his nafkamina was like this. There are some bees that instead of collecting nectar, okay, there's two other kinds of things that they collect that he came up with. One is by the grape harvest. Okay, the bees hang around by the grape harvest, and they hang around in the garbage eating all the sugar from the grapes. Okay, so instead of collecting sugar from nectar from plants, they're collecting sugar from the grape harvest. Well, that grape juice that they're picking up is stam yayin. So they're making honey out of stam yayin instead of out of nectar. So in that case, and another case,
how do you know it results in honey?
Yes, he was under the impression that. Now the second one, but it's more for sure, is honey. The first one you would never know, because when you buy that honey, you would know that your bees ate it at the harvest. Okay. But the second one is more that people actually buy it specifically for this thing, which is there are insects. You for sure know they're called aphids. Okay, there are little insects called aphids. Aphids have a secretion that's very sweet. Okay, so. And actually, there are ants that the way they I don't know if this is the right way to say it, but they enslave the aphids. Okay, they keep them under control so they can eat their secretion. Okay, but you think the ants have no one to pick on, right? So, okay. But there are bees that they specifically make sure that they eat this sweet aphid secretion. They like keep them controlled, and the honey that they produce has a very special taste to it. Okay, because it's not coming from nectar; it's coming from this aphid secretion.
The beekeepers, in other words.
Right, the beekeepers control their bees to only use on these aphids. However, they do that.
Eat the secretion.
Right, to only keep eat that and not eat nectar. And the male produces a special honey that you could buy as specially made for this aphid secretion.
What's it called?
I'm sorry, I don't remember. I'm sorry, I don't remember what it's called.
Okay, so give a hefshe to
him? We don't give a hefshe because, listen, so Rav Shakta said, according to the first tenets of the Gemara, this is going to be usher. The first tenet of the Gemara is that it's not against it from the bee. It's only whatever they pick up, that's what they dropped off. So knew this is coming from an aphid. So then it's going to be usher because it's coming from a trace animal. According to the second tenet of the Gemara, that any honey that a bee makes is mutter. I mean, it really is against it, but it's mutter. Thank you. It's mutter anyhow. But,
Like
the first of the carrier, you're just carrier. Right. No, it's usher because it's whatever it came from. So here it came from a bud instead of coming from a flower. So it's usher. According to the second tenet of the Gemara, that every honey is mutter, even though it's yes, it doesn't make a difference. Honey is mutter, there's a cousin. So this honey is mutter also. Okay. That was a backwards nafkamina. Okay? Now, Rav Shakta had another nafkamina, not to get to most of the people here, from a Daki Tshuva. Daki Tshuva says that.
There are not mocha, because
okay.
Could be. The reason why the honey brings the Gemara in the sun, but it's a shracha, yeah, it's a nice, it's a shracha.
No, it's exerts a cause.
Yeah, but the other cause is only in sun. Well, why did it become the mash? Why did the Gemara know this yait is mutter? Because it covered all the yait, so this is shracha, yait.
That's not how the Gemara says it. That's not how the Gemara says it. You could say that. The Gemara didn't say it. We're going to say it. I'll tell you in a second what the Gemara says. You'll hear in a second. The Gemara has a different hesber for why honey is different than other things. You'll hear in a second. Okay, you could be. Rav Shakta has another nafkamina, which is Daki Tshuva brings that the Kabbalim don't eat anything that comes from a living thing on days that you say tachna.
Oh, that's rather right.
Okay,
oh,
that's
right.
Okay, so then so he says, according to the first terse of the Gemara, honey is not a yotze from an animal.
Right.
So therefore, since it's not a yotze from the animal, some kabbalim can eat honey even on days that you say tachna. Okay. Because it's not a yotze from the animal. It's just, you're eating nectar. If it's a yotze, and it's like milk, they won't eat milk or meat on those that they're vegan, on days that you say tachanun, because I don't know how people go, whatever the reason, I'll pick up all. But according to this, you can eat honey even on days that you say tachanun. Okay, so in case anybody here has that practice, you can eat honey on days that you say tachanun. Okay. Okay, so a little bit about retail honey before we move on. Okay, a few little things about retail honey. honey is kosher. There's such a thing as flavored honey, mm-hmm. Okay, and of course flavored honey needs hashgacha because the flavor needs hashgacha. That's obvious.
But lots
of honeys are labeled in a way that sounds like it's flavored, but it's really not. They'll say orange blossom honey. Orange blossom honey doesn't mean it's flavored like orange blossoms. It's just telling you which plant this bee got its nectar from. It has nothing to do with flavored. It's just somehow, and that's supposed to appeal to you that you want that honey versus that one. That's fine. That's not a problem. Okay. Now, there's reports every so often about people adulterating honey. Okay, the most common thing we hear about is people adulterating with corn syrup. So for year-round, it's not negated. It's kosher also. Whether it's honey or not is sort of not our issue. Kosher it is, so that's not a problem. For Pesach, we're makbid. We tell people they should get honey with hashgacha because there's concern of adulteration. Hagam, that really, it really doesn't make so much sense from a din perspective because you could adulterate it with glucose that's made from chametz. There's such a thing. Maybe if we lived in Europe, that would be more of a chashash. In America, it's come on, not a chashash, that they're getting glucose from chametz. They could be getting glucose like corn syrup, that's kidneys, but then it'd have to be less than 50, more than 50%, which is also not a mistaver. You know, I mean, if you want to adulterate it, I mean, you don't want to sell people carrot syrup. I mean, you want to sell them honey. So with a little carrot syrup, and it's, okay, but that's what we do. We tell people to do that. It's not the end of the world.
No, I mean, don't
and then the last thing is... What?
Did we say that recently? We're always telling people that honey
yeah.
with
hashgacha. Oh, yeah. Honey with hashgacha.
And you got to be sure that the hashgacha is, that it's on it. It's not the same thing.
Okay, that's a good question. I can't answer that question. Okay, and the last part of this is that honey be'etzem does not need...
Hashgacha is hashgacha for kosher Pesach.
No, we hashgacha is a group of Pesach. We don't do anything.
We're telling hashgacha for honey. We're telling you hashgacha
for Pesach. Yeah, that's hashgacha. He said Vatavka. Maybe that hashgacha is a group
of Pesach. I always thought they were very well makriya. They don't have to worry.
I always thought that when they give hashgacha for Pesach, that means that they're...
Not necessarily. Okay, and the last thing is that we... The last thing is that we... Honey, as I mentioned to you, does not need to be pasteurized because it's be'etzim, it's preserved. Okay, part of the chachma, what the bee does to it, makes it not need to be preserved.
Right.
However, there are companies who do pasteurize it, not for the preservation of it, but because it helps to make it more fluid. Actually, that's what the Machaber said over here. It just liquefies it. It helps it flow through the kalim. So we tell people that, so it's a small chashash. Maybe they're doing it on kalim that are also being used for other things. So it's not a very tremendous chashash. But on the other hand, there's so much honey with hashkacha on it. And come on, every honey you're going to find has hashkacha anyhow. So we tell people they should buy with hashkacha to avoid this little shayla that it could be.
I'm pretty sure they all heat it up.
Does everybody heat it up?
Yeah, I think everybody.
Okay. Okay.
You know the raw honey that you get?
Yeah.
It's something because supposedly raw honey, even that, they got to heat it up.
Just to get into the bottle.
How do they get the honey out of those beehives?
I have no idea. Okay, now we get this. Okay, actually, Nagir, too. There actually is Nagir in two things I'm talking about. I'm not going to mention it. Okay, the next thing is there's a big deal on, a big issue people speak about. It's something else that bees produce. We have a few other bee products to talk about. That's what we have left. It's called royal jelly. Okay? Royal jelly is this. I don't have a picture for you, I'm sorry. But it does not look like honey. It's a creamier color to it. It doesn't taste sweet like honey does. It actually tastes pretty awful. And they make it, bees secrete it in order they feed it to some of the larvae eat it. In particular, the bee that's designated to become the queen bee, okay, she eats it, and the male is called royal jelly because it's what's fed to the royal bee. Okay,
that comes from their body.
It does not come like honey does. Okay, so therefore, so Rabbi Shapta says, according to the first side of the Gemara, it's for Sharasa. Because the first side of the Gemara is that it's something not made from a bee, they just transported it. Well, that's not what this is. Okay, that's not going to be with her. Rabbi Shapta says, even according to the second turn of the Gemara, Pashto says that he says it should be usher also, because the Gemara says, it's not that everything that comes from a bee is mutter. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says the drasha is that everything that doesn't have a shame levai is what's mutter. So honey doesn't have a shame levai. It's just called honey. As opposed to, let's say, dvash gizin is called dvash gizin. It's not called dvash plain. It has some other name that helps explain what it is. So anything that's not just called straight honey is what's usher. So
dvash gorer.
No. But if you use the word honey, everybody knows you mean honey from a bee. You could be more specific and say, Drash.
Is that
honey?
What do you
say?
Is it really date honey?
Is what date honey?
Drash.
Yeah. But when you want to talk about honey from a bee, you don't say Drash, right? I know that in the term it calls it not like that. The word Drash generically just means honey from a bee. And if you want to say Drash from Gizin, you have to say Drash Gizin, or you have to call it Vim, or whatever. You have to give it some kind of a name to it. You can't just call it Drash Gizin. And therefore, royal jelly is not called honey either. No. So even though it comes from the bee, but it's not coming from the... It's not called the honey that comes from the bee. He says it has a shame levai.
Then we even call it honey.
Correct. Okay. Now, the Titzel Yezer has a long chew of talk.
Because is it any different than called...
It's very different. No, it's very different. It's not the same thing b'chal. It doesn't look the same and doesn't taste the same.
What is it used for?
It's medicinal. People think that has medicinal value.
There is a shame they give it to royal jelly. So what's the tzad to be matter?
I'm trying to tell you. I was
leading you into it.
Thank you so much. Okay.
Moving you along, Rabbi.
So the Tzitzel Yezer has a long tshuva to say that he thinks it's matter. Okay. Oh. A long tshuva to say that it's matter. Okay. So people who do that are saying because of him. Okay. So he says two things. His heter is sort of based on two. I'm going to break into two parts. The first is he goes on for maybe a page to tell you that he's convinced that the halacha is like the second day of the Gemara. We said beforehand that the Mechaber seems to pass like the first day, and just a Yesh Misa Oisha for the second day for a Baal Nefesh should be Machber.
And the Ramah.
And we said the Ramah is being saying like the second day. He says, no, the Ramah is saying that we pass like the second day. Now, he wants to say even Lakula. In our case, it's Lakula he wants to say that. He brings other writers from all kinds of other people that the din is really like the second day of the Gemara. Okay, so he says, the first day of the Gemara, I don't care about it. Not the Ramah is being Machber, I just don't care about the first day of the Gemara. So the royal child doesn't bother me. He says, now, but the second part he has to say is, why would the second day in the Gemara be makel about the royal jelly also? Okay, so he has a few different reasons. Okay, so one is, he says, the way it was described to him is that it tastes so disgusting that it's maybe even not royal achila, but at least it's pirsha. And remember, something that comes out of an animal is only also, if it's a yaitzif in the animal, if it's a pirsha, then it's going to be mutter. So he says, at least it's a pirsha. Okay? So Rabbi Shapta said that, listen, he says, we fed it to somebody. They fed it to Jim. I don't know if they did to Jim. They gave it to a guy, and they gave it to a guy to taste, and he said, it didn't taste great, but it didn't taste horrible either. Okay? So now, that was enough to explain why it's not not Roy Lachila. It is Roy Lachila. But whether that makes it not Pirsha, I'm not sure about that. Look, maybe it's already not edible enough. It's described as having a bitter taste. And even the guy who Rabbi Shechter gave it to said he tasted it, and it tasted not very good. It was had a bitter taste, but it wasn't horrible. So Kenzai, it's enough to qualify as Pirsha. Okay, but that's...
Pirsha is the reason, then it doesn't matter which kind of Gemara you're going to.
Right. There's not, again, if this is Pirsha, then we're going to go to both. Right, according to everything, it'll be both. Right, that's correct. Right, you're right. So, since he didn't need that, he could have said, even according to the...
Right.
Okay, second is, Rabbi Blech says this, Tisha B'Av also has a couple of pages to explain why he thinks it's mutter, and Tisha brings it also, the Rabbeinu Gerishim says that Shem Levi, when the Gemara says anything with a Shem Levi is usher, Shem Levi, the way Rabbeinu Gerishim implies is that it has to have the name of the animal in it. So Dvash Gizin is usher because it has, the description of the thing includes the name of the trade animal that it comes from. But if it doesn't include the name of the trade animal that it comes from, that's not considered to have a Shem Levi, and it's just considered to be a plain name. Okay? So we have a question, how to understand the word Shem Levi. Okay? So Rabbi Shechter to that said, he says, first of all, it's not the Pashas. Okay? Your Rabbi Gershon sounds like that. The Pashas says that most other people do not learn like that. Shem Levi just means that it needs something, a more descriptive name. It's not a generic name, it's more descriptive. And royal jelly is surely more descriptive than just honey. It's something, it has to give you some kind of extra background. Okay? And second, he says, well, I think it's called royal jelly. It's called royal jelly because royal describes that it comes from that's fed to a bee. Okay, so implied in the name.
I don't know what it was called.
That's true. So he's not. He's ignoring that. He's ignoring that.
What about it? Did they have it?
What is it?
Well,
they have. No. Who? Nobody would eat such a thing. It doesn't taste good. People only eat honey. So it is.
I know it existed in the world, but maybe they didn't know how to harvest it. I don't know.
Okay, we spoke about it. We actually spoke back then. I was just listening. Oppenheimer was piping in about this. That really, for these dinim, Rabbi Shechter himself says this, is that you have to think about what it was called back then. Okay, and not only do we have no way of knowing what they called it, but no one even knows if there even is a word in Lashon Kodesh for this. Right? I mean, what word is there to describe it? We even spoke about it then, that the word Dvash Gizin might not even be the way you speak about Lashon Kodesh. It's that could be Lashon Kodesh, there is no word to describe that thing. So we call it, the honey that comes from Gizin is a description, not a name of the thing. It's just, there is no name in Lashon Kodesh. They didn't have that. They don't have names for microwaves in Lashon Kodesh either, you know what I mean? So we have to just make up a name that sort of fits for it. But it's not an inherent name to it. Okay. So anyhow, Rabbi Shechter, the way Rabbi Shechter said is Mekubal. Most people say like that royal jelly is not kosher. And Yankee's friends who give Hashgacha to it, we don't accept it. We don't accept
this. What was the point you were making about the fact that it's called royal because they feed it to the queen bee?
And the male, so the name includes within it a reference to the trade animal. No, so you say it's called Dvash Gizin, so it has Gizin in it. That's where it comes from, but here it's where it's going to, but it's referencing the fact that it's related to bees. So even according to Rabbeinu Gershom, maybe this is considered Shem Levi. It's not exactly Shem, because there the Dvash is where it comes from a trade animal. Here, the point is that it's in the service of trade animals.
Right, but it's not Dvash because Dvash is Tavara, and we don't say that because of Dvash is Tavara, and that makes it into Shem Levi. Dvash is Tavara means that's the normal Shem.
Okay, next. Some other things. Some simpler things. Okay, there's something called beeswax. Okay, beeswax is what they make the honeycombs out of. Okay, again, also, nobody thought of eating it until recently. And
honeycombs.
Need honeycomb cereal?
Yep, sure.
Yeah. Okay. So neither of the Gemara's tzurtzim are going to work because it's the bees make it from their body. They have a gland that produces this wax. Okay, they have a gland. If neither tzurtzim and Gemara are going to work for that, but I'm going to show you in a second a bunch of rye that it is mutter. And the reason, before we get to the rye that is mutter, the assumption is the reason why it's mutter is because it's considered pirsha. Okay, it's not edible. Waxes are not edible. So it's considered a pirsha from the animal. So it's not a yoytzer from the animal because it's a pirsha. Okay? So there's somebody, I mentioned his name before, Rabbi Yoni Robinson. He lives in Queens. At the time, I don't know what he does now, at the time he was a professor who voluntarily did some work for the OU. He had an interest in kashrus things. So he was looking into this, to this child. So he I'm going to tell you three of the rites that he brought that it's mutter. Not why. Why is Lachar because it's pirsha? But three of the rites he did, just sort of interesting. Okay. The first is, the Magen Avraham says that when you do B'dikas Chametz, instead of doing B'dikas Chametz with many people make candles out of animal fat, he says, don't do B'dikas Chametz with an animal fat candle, because it'll drip on your kalim and it'll make them trafe. He says, instead, you should use a beeswax candle. When you go around doing your B'dikas Chametz, you should make your candle out of beeswax instead of out of fat. Animal fat. Okay, so I'm saying the implication, of course, is that it was mutter. Okay, the whole point he's trying to make is that you're allowed to eat it, so to speak. You know, he never dreamt of anybody eating it, but it's because it's so partial that it was mutter. Okay. Okay. There's a shaila whether you're allowed to use treif things in Hanukkah candles. You're allowed to make your Hanukkah candles out of some of this treif. And there are those who hold that it's usher. And there are more mentions, but that they used to make candles out of beeswax. The Hanukkah candles were made out of beeswax. Okay, and last is... maybe the Ramah is making about that issue. Okay, so it's the other way around. So Shlomo Kluger says he's not allowed to. How would he read what the Ramah says? How is he going to justify that you have to have kosher candles when the Ramah says you're not? So you can just argue on the Ramah.
That's a kosher shlomo.
Right, okay, so derive from there. Say derive how you want. Okay, the Ramah says... that you use beeswax in the making of D.O. for tefillin. Okay, we spoke about also at the beginning of the simon, Pasha says that though everything you use in making the D.O. has to be kosher. Okay, we spoke about it, whether it does or doesn't. But Pasha said it has to be menamut beficha. And he says you should use D.O. in the D.O. has beeswax and has shayman. Okay, anyhow, so we assume that it's kosher. Nowadays they use it to coat candies and make them shiny, put them on fruit. There's even extracts that are made for flavors out of it. So we assume that it's kosher. We assume that it's kosher. Okay, that's the reason why we assume why it's mutter. It's good kosher.
The sprinkles get that too?
That's fine. That everybody uses that. Yeah. People don't use the confectioner's clays.
Which is what?
We did speak about
it. I must have missed that one.
No, you just... Okay.
No?
Okay,
no,
next. Okay. A few other little things that bees make. Okay. Bees collect pollen. Okay. That's really their task, is to collect pollen. They have this... There's something called a pollen basket. The pollen that you collect from the bees is 100% mutter. That mamish is not even a shiloh being yotze, it's just stuck onto their body. That's for sure. Just comes from the outside, that's mutter. Some bees will mix pollen together with nectar and then to make something called bee bread. Okay? Other people call that ambrosia, kacha. And they feed that to some of their larvae, eat this bee bread. So it's pollen mixed with, what did I say? Nectar. Okay, both of those are mutter. Pollen and nectar are both mutter, so that's fine. Okay, that's also mutter. Okay, there are people eating all these things now.
Called ambrosia?
Yeah, some people call it ambrosia. Okay, yeah. And then bees also collect resins from plants, okay, and they use the resin, a resin like something that it's exuded by the plants, okay, like saps from certain plants, and they collect it, they mix it with beeswax, and they use it as a sealant for the beehive. Okay, part of that.
Good for tefillin.
I have no idea if it's good for tefillin. Mm-hmm. But bees use it, and it's called bee propolis. Okay, and that's a mixture of these resins that it collects from plants together with beeswax, which are both kosher. Okay, the beeswax is fine. The resin is also kosher. Some people think that they drop in a little saliva also. I mean, we know by honey that they drop in saliva, and that's mutter, presumably because it's bottle. For this also, so that's fine. Bee propolis is also kosher. It also might be not royal achilah. Okay, but it's your left. Okay. And last, to remind you, we spoke about some time ago, there are people who use bees or bee extract in homeopathic remedies. Okay, we spoke about then. And together with that is that Rabbi Heber tells us that they use bee venom in some medicinal items also.
Bee venom.
Venom, like the thing
is
that makes
the sting?
And we spoke about then whether venoms, I don't know if you remember this, we spoke about then whether venoms are really not royal achil or not. Okay, if they're not royal achil, then of course it would be mutter. It's for sure, it's a yaitse from the animal. The question is it not royal achil and it's a pirsha? We spoke about then also.